Hello and welcome to another Wednesday vlog. This is a short form content where we dive into philosophy, business and life as an outdoor woodland practitioner. These appear weekly, surprisingly enough, on a Wednesday. And we just take a short trip into an area of outdoor life. This week I wanted to talk about tactics versus principles. Are you in your sessions teaching tactics or are you teaching principles? And what's the difference and does it really matter? So this all came about because I was listening to a podcast on business and creating online courses, and he talked about three different levels where that you can operate in as a business owner. Either operate on a tactical level, a principled level, or a level of wisdom, which he defined as just knowing what to do, having an instinctive grasp, which isn't something that you can really teach. So for now, we're sticking to tactics on principles. I can define tactics as a thing that you can do in a certain scenario, a technique or practice you can apply in a very specific environment, very specific tools and techniques. So it's a way of doing something very specific. Whereas a principle is a general rule that you can apply to wider scenarios, environments and techniques. So example of a tactic is eat an apple a day. So whether that's for health or vitamin C or whatever, tactic is you should eat an apple a day. A principle is you should eat certain amount of fruit and vegetables or liver a day to be able to get essential vitamins and nutrients. So you need these essential vitamins and nutrients every day, and the best way to get them is fruit or liver or vegetables. You can see principles are there that one level higher, the thing that can be applied in multiple different scenarios. A question is, when you are teaching sessions and when you are teaching skills, particularly bushcraft skills, are you teaching from a point of view of tactics or are you teaching from a point of view of principles? In a more bushcraft scenario, a tactic is to use take a cotton wool bud, take a fire steel, push down the fire steel, generate sparks, ignite the cotton wool. You have fire, or you have a flame at least. So that is a very tactical thing. But for principle, we need to go one level higher. If the person doesn't have fire steels or cotton wool, this tactic is pretty much useless. But the principle is, if we have something that generates sparks, we can then pair it with something that is light and fluffy and flammable to generate a flame. So if we go for that approach, we go, okay, we go back to our fire triangle in that respect. We need some fuel, we need an ignition source, and of course we need abundance of oxygen. So in that you would go, okay, what is my spark thing? And you can use a variety of different tools for this. You can use flint and steel, you can use a fire steel, you can use a lighter, or anything else that produces a spark. And then you look around for light fluffy stuff and you think, okay, seed heads would do, or cotton wool, or fatwood shavings. You're looking for something light and fluffy and flammable with thin fibers. So you can see the advantage of teaching someone a principle versus a tactic. So principle works in multiple different environments. And that means when we teach someone a certain skill here in the UK, or even if we're looking at England and Scotland, differences there, we can teach them a skill in a broad-leafed woodland in southern England, and then they can apply that same principle when they go into coniferous woodland in Scotland. And or we can teach a certain principle that works with a type of tree here, and they can be used across the world, applied in somewhere like Serbia or Siberia or whatever, somewhere that has a slightly different ecosystem, doesn't have exactly the same species, but has the same type species. So the principle that light and fluffy materials, natural materials like seed heads, are often flammable. It doesn't matter if you know the name of this particular seed head. You just drop some sparks in it and see whether it'll work. You've got the principles at work there. Now, the person who's really good at this is Dave Watson. And I'll refer back to, we did an interview almost, it's got to be like 2 years ago now. It was one of the early interviews on the podcast. We had a really good discussion on this. He's really good at this. He teaches this idea of making it universal. If we teach good principles, if we teach good techniques that they can then be applied to multiple scenarios, we have developed an active learner. We have developed someone who could go out and take the skills and apply it in ways that we can't even imagine. Because if you're sticking to just tactics, you go, okay, to light a fire, you ask a child, okay, what do you need to light a fire? You need a fire steel and cotton wool. You go, okay, we don't have a fire steel or cotton wool. If you've just taught them tactics, chances are at this point, they'll shut down. They will start going, well, I don't know what to do. But if you taught the principles of fire, triangle, and so on, they might be able to go out into nature and find something that they can substitute. And they can start thinking outside the box. And they can start bringing things in, like a child that brought in dandelion seed heads. Now, I hadn't considered this before. I don't usually work in open grasslands. But it never occurred to me. And they had a go with it. I mean, it has disadvantages and advantages. But they were able to go beyond what I had taught them with a principle as opposed to a tactic. So it's well worth thinking very carefully when we introduce a skill. Are we introducing this as tactically or introducing this from an overall principle? Generally, a principle is harder to teach because you kind of need more overview and you need more rooms for nuances. And this means that there isn't necessarily a right answer. Like people that used to come into the shop that I worked in and go, okay, what is the best pair of boots here? And now I could talk to them from a point of view, okay, what are you doing? And they'll go, okay, I'm climbing rocks. And you go, okay, you need this type of sole, you need this type of boot. And they would go away with a boot that worked for them. But then the next time they come in, they're asking the same question. Whereas if I ran them through the whole process, okay, you want this type of sole for this type of activity, that type of sole for this type of activity. The softer soles are better for firmer ground, and the harder soles are better for rockier ground. And we can work our way through that and through a process. And then once I've taught them the process, they can then apply it as many times as they want. And they don't need me. Because your job, first and foremost, is as a teacher, or even as a parent, this applies to parenthood as well, you should be working yourself out of a job. If after 10, 20 years or whatever, the learners that you have are just as reliant on you as when they started, then you've done something badly wrong. We are looking to create independent individuals, and we don't want them to be reliant on us as the fountain of all knowledge. We want to move the learning forward. We want to be thinking, okay, what can I teach them that will mean that they can go out and do whatever they want to do without my input? So this does require a bit of thinking, does require a bit more nuance. And it requires having in-depth conversations about things. And to really support that, you need to be developing your own principles. So the more principles and structures and frameworks you can create, the better your learners will be off. So an example of another structure and framework is when you are tying, you're teaching the tying of knots. So you can teach certain knots. You can go, okay. And then you can go, okay, you need this knot on this end, this knot on that end, and then you need this knot to pull out the guy lines. Whereas a good overall structure is to divide them into, this is an anchoring knot, this is a tensioning knot, and this is a utility knot. So an anchoring knot is designed to bind onto something and stay in place. A tensioning knot is then used at the other end to create tension in that system. So you can see that they can then choose, okay, for my anchor knot, I want to use a trucker timber hitch, or I want to use an event hitch. And then they have a choice, okay, they choose one, put it in a bowline, whatever. And then they go, okay, what do I choose for this side? I need another tensioning knot. If you've taught them the structure, they won't try and put two anchor knots on either side and then end up with a slack rope. They have a structure to work with. Whether it's cooking, knife skills, everything, we should be teaching structures and principles that will mean they can have success time after time. Well, that's all I have for you today. I hope that got you thinking. And remember, make the most of every day, and I'll see you all next time.